Well, last week, I'm not sure about you, if you were here, it was a very poignant moment. As we looked at Psalm 150 and really defined worship, and that worship happens in a variety of ways. And at the end of my sermon, I invite you guys to step up and clap and celebrate as a form of worship. And it was like a sporting event here. I mean, I was seeing grown men crying, like Jeff Schultz and Casey Van Winkle high-fiving people. It was an amazing moment. And we continue with that this morning as we jump into Psalm 34. We're in this series, if you're new to our church. We've been going through the Psalms, and we'll be going through the Psalms through Sunday, November 3rd. And we're just kind of looking at different Psalms and what God wants to teach us. And this morning in Psalm 34, written by King David, is a psalm about fears. And if there's anything that is universal in the human condition that we share with any Homo sapien is fear. We have fears. And it's interesting how fear is tied into a number of things like procrastination. Does anybody procrastinate at all? Yeah. Yeah, a lot of us do. And I remember, it was junior high when I had procrastinated on a science project. And you probably remember those science projects. They told you like 4 or 5 months in advance, and you had to build something and make something. And I blew it off until the day of. I woke up that morning, my head popped off the pillow. It was like, oh no, the science project is due today. So I took a cup of dirt and tried to make some kind of solar system deal. I brought it into my class, and Mr. Schultz said, "What is that?" And I said, "That's a solar system." Interesting. By the way, when a teacher says interesting when you're going to be graded on something, that's not a good sign, okay? And then I always kind of despised, perhaps envied, those kids whose parents made the science project. I remember one kid in our class, David Dunn, in fact, his dad pulled up in the truck. I still remember we had a small school, so you could see the parking lot right by our classroom, and David Dunn's dad pulls up in a flatbed truck. They pull out this plywood, and it's a huge volcano. And we brought it into class, and in fact, he had fake lava coming out of that volcano. It was unbelievable. And I'm like thinking, David can barely button a shirt, let alone make a volcano. Nice job, Copernicus. So, but we all have fears, and fears are tied in a lot of things. And one of my favorite authors says this about fear. I love this. All of us are born with the set of instinctive fears. The fear of falling, the fear of the dark, the fear of lobsters, the fear of falling on lobsters in the dark. And the fear of these words, I fear these words, some assembly required. Yes. But we all have fears. And God is not surprised by our fears. It's not like when you become afraid of something, all of a sudden, well, God is surprised. He's not surprised at all. In fact, the most often repeated command, you may want to write this down, the most often repeated command in the Bible, two words, fear not. In one translation, it actually records it 366 times. In other words, we have a verse for every single day of the year, including leap year. I love it. See, that surprised me because I thought the most repeated command would be love one another or give big offerings or big tithes and offerings. It's not that. It's fear not. Fear not. God wants his people not to be paralyzed by fear, because that's what fear does. It can paralyze us. He wants us to grow in our faith in life. And that's exactly what King David says in Psalm 34. We're going to come at it in a direction that I have not done before. I've preached on fear before, but we're going to look at how fear can actually grow us spiritually. Because you and I, we're here, I think, because we want to grow spiritually, right? All right, 10 of us do. But yeah, hopefully you come to church because you want to grow spiritually, and there's great devotional books, there's worship songs, there's a variety of things that can help us grow spiritually, but I would bet my house that you wouldn't think fear would be one of those catalysts that would help you grow in your faith. But David shows that in Psalm 34. So before we turn to Psalm 34, let me pray. God in heaven, it's so nice to be here. And God, I pray that you would take this psalm, this historic ancient psalm, and bring life to it. God, there's those of us here this morning, we need something afresh. We need something new. And God, I pray that you speak into our lives. And Lord, as we talk about fear, there's those of us right now that are battling some pretty dominant fears in our life. I pray that you would speak to us. And God, I pray that during the course of this sermon, Lord, that you would protect my mind and my heart. Let this message. Let these words be your words. In Christ's name we pray. Everybody said, amen. All right, let's go to Psalm 34. I'm not going to read all of it. It's a long psalm. Not, it's longer, I should say, compared to the ones we've done before. But I'm going to go through verses 1 through 10, and then 17 through 18. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. You want to turn to your Bible, or your Bible app, or if you want to pull from our church app as well. Again, the New Living Translation. King David writes this. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. I love that. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him. Now, the word fear here is different from the fears that David's talking about. When it says fear God, it's talking about a reverence, a holy reverence for God. That's a different Hebrew word here. Taste and see the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. Fear the Lord. Have reverence for him, in other words. You, his godly people, for those who fear him will have all they need. Even strong young lions sometimes grow hungry. But those who trust in the Lord will lack no good thing. Verse 17. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. So I want to start with what David begins the psalm with, that when it comes to fears, as we want to allow our fears to not paralyze us, but actually to propel us towards spiritual growth, we have to respond to them. And David begins with a response simply with praising God. I will praise the Lord at all times, he says. Now, he has some fears. He's got some stuff he wants to share with God. But before he gets there, he actually wants to just worship God. He wants to praise him. I will praise the Lord at all times, he says. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. So when it comes to our fears, in responding to our fears, you praise God. That's your first fill in the blank. You praise God. And my challenge to all of us, including myself, is each day, as much as we can, to simply take a moment, and maybe it's at work, maybe it's with the kids, whatever it is, it's to take a moment to say, I love you, Lord. I adore you. One of the prayer acronyms I've shared here before is ACTS, that when you pray to God, it is first to adore God, A, adoration, C, confession, T, thanksgiving, thanking God for all he's done for us, and S is the stuff of our lives, the stuff of our kids. But that first one, A, is so important. Before we get into our fears, our troubles, it's so important for us to begin with God. As I shared last week in Psalm 150, for us to actually set our eyes on the things of heaven rather than the things of earth, because it's remarkable when we start there that those fears tend to dissipate. They're not as large as they used to be. When you start with worshiping God and loving God and beholding God, that your fears abate a bit. So praising God. And whatever that fear that we have, it can move us towards faith. When we're afraid and we actually begin with worship, it moves us closer to God. And having more faith, we draw closer to God, and drawing closer to God, we worship him and worship him. We focus on him and not on our fears. And it's really a beautiful cycle how that works. And I'm not under any false assumption this morning that after this 30-minute message, you're going to walk away, oh, that was a great sermon. All my fears are gone. It's not going to happen. Some of you have fears that I can't possibly fathom. And I realize that many of you have fears that are a lot bigger of what I can offer to you. But what I can offer to you is God's word. I can offer to you what God wants to say to you. I can offer some principles that I'm going to share, some steps and reminders that God is with you. And I believe in my heart, as we start here this morning, I believe in my heart that this overcoming fear, responding to fear, is a joint venture. You have your role, and God has his role. And too often we think, well, God, just take care of that. I think it's a partnership. So praise God. That is the first fill in the blank. That's how we respond. Another way that we can respond as well to our fears is simply what David shows us right here in verse 4. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my what? Fears. So you can respond by to admit your fears. You admit your fears. Bring them out in the light. Because when we have them hidden away, because perhaps we're ashamed or whatever reason, whenever we keep it in the darkness, Satan loves that because he works in darkness. But we bring it out in the light and say, here are my fears. And maybe to your friends or family, you actually specify what those fears are and you share with them. And I think as guys, I'm generalizing, but for guys, it's hard for us to say this, that we actually have fears. Our response is, I don't have fears. She might, but I don't. We have fears. And the second step is so important. And David, this guy who defeated Goliath, this mighty warrior and this king, actually says he has fears. He talks about them. And for us to realize that. And in my family, we played this game when my kids were younger. It's the game where you scare the other person and laugh at them. You ever play that game? Yeah. And my kids and I, we play this randomly, but we'd hide and then someone would be it to go scare the other person. And the goal was to scare them and watch them just freak out, okay? So I remember one time I was the one looking, and my little daughter Allie was hiding around a corner. I could see her shoe sticking out from the corner, not a very good place to hide. And I just jumped out, and she's like, ah! Just screamed, a little higher than that. But she screamed, and we played the game so much that we actually became good actors because then we'd fake, well, I wasn't scared. And that's what Allie would say. I wasn't scared. But we had a rule we had to make up after a while. You had to admit it. That was the rule for the game. You got me. And when we played the game again, Alex or Allie, even me, my kids would scare me, and I'd have to say, you got me. Even though I didn't want to give in, you got me. And I think it's true for our lives too, that for us to admit our fears, you got me. We have fears. Now, my kids may be in therapy someday, but we had a lot of fun when they're younger. And David says this in verse 4, freed me from my fears. What are your fears? What's holding you back this morning from going deeper in your faith with God? Because fear can be that catalyst. Instead of paralyzing us, it can propel us towards God. And in doing so, makes us stronger in our faith. And maybe you never heard about that before. What is your fear? Maybe your fear is to join this church because you had bad experiences with other churches, or you're afraid you're going to be asked a question you don't know. And Brett Germany, our board chair, is going to just simply do a brief sort of introduction to be a member. You don't have to sign anything. It's not the class. The class starts next week. But for you, actually, to just hear some basics on what it means to be a member. Because we would love to see 25 new members this year for our church. That was one of our church goals, by the way. Or maybe it's baptism. Maybe next week for you to actually be baptized, that scares you. To actually come up on the stage, that gives you fear to actually do something like that. And maybe you're like, I wish I could do it like my bathtub or something. But maybe for you, the step is actually be baptized. And I'm going to be doing a short introduction to baptism class in the prayer room. And if you would come to that, I'm going to share what baptism means. But for you, it might be those things. It might be a number of things. It might be that actually serving somewhere, volunteering. You're afraid to volunteer because it's like, if I sign up for that thing in children's ministries, I'm going to be a volunteer for life. I won't be able to get out. I've heard that before. Or if I serve, you know, people are going to see who I really am, and I like to keep my distance. I want to project a certain kind of image. Or maybe your fear is for you to actually to give of your money to tithe. And I was talking to a family member this past week, where I just talked to him. I said, you know what? What you have, God has blessed you. This family member is doing really well in his job. And I said, God gave that job to you. And that's God's money. And for you to give a portion of that back. And that family member is afraid. He's afraid he's not going to have enough. And as I shared last week, you know, it's important that we have savings. But sometimes giving of our money to God, tithing, is something that we're afraid of. Or maybe your fear is sharing with an unbeliever friend who doesn't know God right now, that you're scared to actually begin a conversation with that person. Or maybe your fear is joining a community group. Or your fear might be that you might be known if you come into a community group. A couple years ago, I asked a person to be the point person for an important ministry area of our church. And I remember talking to her, and she said, "I am so scared. I've never done something like this before. Why did you ask me?" And I always say, "God." And she said, "Okay, God told you?" And I was like, "Oh, I was praying. And it wasn't like God spoke to me audibly, but God kind of prompted me to ask you. And as we talked about it, she said, "You know, I'm afraid, but I'm going to give it a shot." And she is a remarkable leader. That ministry area is one of the strongest in our church. And the fact that she actually shared and admitted her fears on the front end is exactly like David. In addition to praising God and also admitting our fears, as we respond to our fears to help us grow spiritually, another one is to take a risk. Verses 5 through 7. Even David has these fears, but he takes a risk in terms of just going forward. He is going forward with his faith. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. Now that may not sound like a step of risk, but it actually is. He's not allowing the fears to pull him back. He's actually going forward, and he's talking about who God is. "In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him." And this is a classic step when it comes to fears, is to face your fears. It's to step forward. Because just like admitting you're afraid isn't natural, risk-taking isn't natural either. We don't grow up this way, do we? When you were a child, your mom didn't say to you, "Hey, be risky today. When you cross the street, just look one way this time." No. Yeah, maybe for David it was, but yeah, no. The advice was, be careful. It's a dangerous world out there. So because of that, those are good instructions, by the way. I'm not telling you to tell your kids, "Hey, just look one way tomorrow when you cross the street." I'm not saying that. But we're not wired to take risks. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage. And that's what's called faith. Faith is something that feels risky to you, but you know that God is a part of it. And I don't want to bore you with stories of my life, but I look at my life now, looking back, when I've said, "God, I'm going to be obedient. I'm freaked out. I'm scared. I'm going to trust you. I don't want to, but I'm scared." Because I think for many of us, we think that our leap of faith is when we receive Jesus Christ into our life. That was the biggest leap of faith. But actually, I think the biggest leaps of faith are later, when you're in the midst of something that is very scary, and yet you trust God. I think those leaps are the biggest leaps. And God invites us into them, and for us to know, take a risk. And as I step back and look at my spiritual journey, every time I've taken a risk, God has grown me immensely in my faith. He has shaped my character. He has shown me so much. And as you saw in the band, perhaps you didn't notice, maybe you did, but Daniel Wolfert right here, sitting next to Lisa with empty four rows behind them. Daniel played bass this morning. It's the first time he played with our worship team. And I was talking to him this morning, and he's been getting ready. He wants to join the worship team. And for about a year or so, Holly and I and Sam were praying and asking Daniel to play with the band. And he said, I'm not ready yet, because he wants to do well. And I think Daniel's response is like a lot of us. You know, we say no because we're not ready. We want to be fully prepared. But underneath that is a fear. Is a fear that we might fail. And it's important for us to be okay with that. If we do fail, it's not fatal. And as we trust God, is take that risk. And Daniel took the risk. He came up there and he played bass guitar. And Daniel actually plays the drums more, but he said, "I'm going to play the bass guitar." We needed a bass guitar. Sam and I prayed this week actually for someone to step up, because a lot of our bass guitarists are gone. And Daniel did. He took a risk. Or maybe, as I think about it, for people that are in my community group, I started a brand new community group this past week. We met on Tuesday night, and there was a group I was with for the last 8 years, and it was just so hard to leave that group. I felt God calling me to start a new group, and we have 13 people. They came over to my townhouse on Tuesday night, and we're all in the living room. And for them to actually say yes to a community group, because for every single one of them, this is the first time they actually said yes to a community group here at Maple Grove Covenant Church. First time. And not only is that daunting, but, I mean, going over to the pastor's house? That takes courage for a lot of reasons. But for us, we take those steps in terms of being risky, and also for us to know that courage is not the absence of fear. It's not. Courage is doing something right, even though you're afraid. Even when you're afraid. It's rejecting that the times that we're comfortable and doing the very thing that we fear. And I think the lack of action can add fuel to our fears. So if we're not taking a risk, and you here this morning, I want to encourage you. What is something that you can take a risk in? Those of you who have been in church for years, what is something that you can take a risk towards? And really put it out there. Because I know there's a lot of fear in this room. And when you don't take a risk with your fear, what happens, it just gets bigger. It's like a balloon. It just expands when you give in to your fear. And all of a sudden, it's like the mountain that you're climbing seems a lot larger and a lot harder because you haven't done anything with your fear. For example, something that I was a little bit fearful of, you might be surprised, but I've been inviting this person to church that I know for the past year to come to Maple Grove Covenant. Almost every other week, I've been inviting this person and their family to come, and every time they said no, different excuses. And at the beginning, as I talked to that person, because I just broke the ice, and they didn't even know I was a pastor, and I just said, where are you at with God? And had that conversation, and I kept asking and asking, and their response was something like, what if I come? And what if somebody meets me at the door, like a greeter, and slaps a visitor headband on my head? And then I'm pulled up to the front on the stage, and I have to share my deepest, darkest sin in my life. What if that happens? Or what happens if somebody steals my Social Security number or my bank account, and the church starts withdrawing money? Because they said, you have to pay for your building, right? I said, yes. And they're like, a lot of excuses. And finally, I just kept asking and asking. And we built this friendship, and they're coming to one of our Christmas Eve services. That's awesome. I'm so excited about that. But what is it for you? And the thing is, too, I don't want to mislead you and say, when you admit your fears, when you take that risk, then it's like the fears are gone, right? No, they return. Let's be honest. I think too often we present Christianity in very consumerist manner that, if you just give your life to Christ and if you admit these mistakes and admit your fears and you take a risk, they're going to be gone. No. Look up Psalm 38, 39, 40, 41. I can keep going on. David, those fears come back to David repeatedly, over and over. It's not like this right here, they're gone. No, our fears return. We know that. And I would have loved to keep this point out. I really would have. But I felt God making sure that I'd said this. And I would love to say, just take a risk, go for it, and everything's going to be fine. But it's going to happen. Maybe you're going to sign up to serve in our children's ministries in his kids' church. And maybe you said yes to teaching four-year-olds. And then as you sit down with those four-year-olds, you sit down and you have the curriculum, you prepared all week for it. And all of a sudden you look up and you see these big, bright eyes. And they're all staring at you. And all of a sudden you get a knot in your throat, a knot in your stomach. You're like, uh-oh. And all of a sudden the fears of, I'm not good enough. Or I don't know the Bible well enough. What if I teach heresy to these kids? I've had volunteers actually share that with me, that they're so afraid when they said yes to actually serving in our children's ministries or our youth ministries. What if I drop the flannel graph and the ark lands on Jesus? Some of the fears that we might have. But fear is going to return. You can count on it. So what do you do? Final point. In responding to our fears, you embrace the presence of God. And that's exactly what David says in verses 17 through 18. The Lord hears his people when they call to him for help. He rescues them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. I love that verse. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. That's our memory verse for this week. As we've been going through the Psalms, we've been encouraging you to memorize a verse. This is our memory verse for this week. Verse 18, and last week it was Psalm 150, verse 6. Those who breathe sing praises to the Lord. It's a great line, praise him. That was our memory verse from last week. So if you're behind a little bit, catch up. Psalm 150, verse 6 from last week. And today it's Psalm 34, verse 18 that you can memorize for this week. and for us to realize that God is with us. And I love Philippians 4:13. I think it's a verse that a lot of us know. Some of you have bumper stickers with Philippians 4:13 on there. You might have a tattoo with Philippians 4:13 on there. I can do all things, emphasis added, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. A lot of us know that verse, or maybe you're new to church today and you hear that verse. And the problem is, I think we've broken that verse down into almost like a Hallmark, sort of a pithy platitude. And that verse, actually, if you think about the context, is remarkable. So for a moment here, I want you to kind of imagine going back to the first century. You're there with Paul, okay? You're with Paul, you're in prison with Paul, and he's writing this book of Philippians. And as he writes to them, try to imagine this for a second. So try to imagine that you've lost your job, like Paul. You're isolated from your friends. You live in a strange country where you don't know anybody. You have jealous enemies that are trashing your reputation. You've been arrested on false charges. You've been physically beaten numerous times and put in jail, and you might die tomorrow. Imagine that. Imagine dying tomorrow. What would you do today? What Paul chose to do is to write these words, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And later he writes this too. He writes that the fact that for me, Christ is to gain and to die is to gain. And that's exactly what we see when it comes to Paul. That as he talks about to actually give his life to Christ and not be afraid of death, and actually to die is to gain, is actually because him, for Paul, he wasn't afraid of death. Because for him, he was excited about seeing the Lord again. This is a guy who was not afraid. So for us, as we think about, you know, as we embrace the presence of God and be reminded as we step into those fears, those opportunities that God gives us, and remember that he's with us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe as you breathe in that verse and you breathe out, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And maybe today, for example, if I grab lunch at McDonald's, and let's say I go over there, and I see a couple workers taking a smoke break, and maybe they look a little bit rough looking. And maybe there's a fear in my heart, like, for me to go walk up to them and invite them to Maple Grove Covenant Church. And for me to simply to say, God, I don't want to be rejected by them. That's a tough step. I don't want to be rejected by them, but I feel you prompting me to talk to them. I know you love them, I know you love me, and I know you love McDonald's. So I'm going to step forward, because I know you're with me. You are close to the brokenhearted. God is close. What does your prayer look like this morning? Maybe it's, God, I know I should be baptized, but I'm scared. I don't want to go up on that stage. I'm afraid Pastor Craig will accidentally drown me. Or maybe it's a variety of things, whatever that is. I want you to write down one or two fears that you have right now on your teaching notes, or just put them down and just say, God, I'm afraid of this, and I need you to help me. Let's pray. I'm going to pray the words of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, thank you so much for taking our fears, and not only taking them, but using them to grow us in the image of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.